scripture this morning will be coming from Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 28. Once again, that's Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 28. And it reads, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy and divine word.
Amen. Good morning. It's definitely a privilege and honor to be here today in the house of the Lord. I trust that you'll find this message as well as this worship service to be beneficial and helpful to you. After all, we are we're here to celebrate. We're here to celebrate the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I had our brother Antoine, if you're visiting with us today, we do want you to know that you are our honored guest and we are blessed by your presence. We know you could have went anywhere, but you've come here and we trust and pray that you'll find the message as well as this worship service beneficial. And if someone doesn't treat you with kindness and respect, just conclude that they are not members of the Arlington Church of Christ, because we've been trained to take care of our visitors and to greet everyone in a nice manner. We read Acts 5 in verse 28 through 32. And this is kind of going to be the conclusion of what I'm going to talk about. And I want you to, as we set the stage and look at this lesson, we need to know and most assuredly know that we ought to obey God rather than man. Another thing that we need to know in this text, it tells us that the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him have God exalted with his right hand to be the prince, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. We need to know that forgiveness of sin is connected to Christ. And it says, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Now, when it comes to obeying God rather than man, we need to know most assuredly who God is. We need to know what he commands and what he tells us to do. I would like for you to turn into your Bible to the book of John, chapter 15. I don't tend to be long, but I'm going to put a few things out, and I'm going to break this lesson up, because last time I had a privilege to speak, my topic was "I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel," and I told you guys I had three or four other things that I wanted to talk about, but that time would not allow for me. So this is going to be part two of "I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel." When you look at Romans 1 and verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The Apostle Paul, I gave several reasons why we should not be ashamed of the gospel. And if you want those, I can reiterate those and share that information with you. But I want you to see in John chapter 15, this is a great chapter. Really, if you look at John chapter 15, it's in the middle of a one-time discussion that Jesus had. It starts in probably chapter 12 or 13 and ends in about 17. But in John 15, in verse, let's start in verse 10. The Bible says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for servants knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now, as we look at this, we have to ask ourselves. Jesus outlined and gave the specifics of how we can be his friends. He said we can be his friends if we do whatsoever he commands us. That's quite plain. So you have to ask yourself today, are you a friend of Jesus? We just sung a song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." See, the Apostle Paul knew that he had a friend in Jesus. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel because he realized he had a friend in Jesus. See, in John 15 and 13, it says, "Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." Jesus was stating an evident truth. Soon his words would apply directly to his action upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus not only had laid down his life for his friends, but for his enemy also. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, a familiar passage, the Bible says, "But God commended his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." The reality is that Jesus is a friend to all men. Those who have come to know him can exclaim, "What a friend we have in Jesus." A friend does many things for us. He cares, he loves, he listens, he reproves, and he helps. Jesus does all of these things on our behalf. In this lesson, let's look at some specific ways in which Jesus is a friend to us. Point number one, what a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus is our friend because he helps us overcome sin. Turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible teaches us that sin is a transgression of the law. When it comes to transgressing the law, we need to understand what a transgression is. Case in point, many of us had the choice to either transgress the law when we was driving. If the speed limit is 7 and we go past 7, and then we transgress the law. It's quite simple. It's to do, it's to operate outside the confines of the commandments. 1 John 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, transgression demands punishment. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the Bible tells us that the soul that sinneth shall die. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. When Jesus helps us overcome our sin, we need to know this is how he does that. This is a familiar passage, but when you look at it, the Bible tells us, "For God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God made Christ to be what he hated, sin, so that we could be viewed as righteous. We need to know that Jesus helps us overcome sin because he became the very thing that God hated, to provide a way for us to be what God loved, righteousness. See, in Galatians 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Now, if you go over to Galatians chapter 4, this is the significance of why Christ was willing to die on that cross and be a curse. In Galatians chapter 4, let's start in verse 1. I want you to see how, what a friend we have in Jesus. He helps us overcome sin, and he became a curse so that we could become sons, so we can receive a relationship with God. In Galatians 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differently nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that might receive the adoptions of sons." See, the relationship that we now have as a result of Christ's sacrifice shows that he is a friend to us. See, God made him to be sin. Christ was willing to be a curse so we could be adopted as sons. When you think about that, that is a great relationship that you have as a result of a sacrifice that none of us are deserving of, but God so fixed it in the determinant counsel, set it up before the foundation of the world that all mankind, if they're going to be reconciled back to God, it would take the death of Jesus Christ. See, in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, this is something that we quote and we know the Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, when I think about that verse, I think about the chastisement of our peace. How many of us have ever been chastised in life? Think about your worst, the worst chastisement or the most painful chastisement. And you think about what Christ endured. Our chastisement was on him so we could have peace. Now, a lot of folks say they want to have peace in this world, but there's no peace outside of Christ. Sin, wherever sin is, there's no peace. And Christ is the only person that can give us peace. And we have peace once we obey the gospel. In Colossians 1 and verse 14, it shows us that Jesus is a friend of us because the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of his sins. Now, when you think about having redemption through his blood, you got to go to the cross. Because that's where the blood is. Out came blood and water when the soldier pierced his side. But consider that whole process of him getting to the cross. Consider the fact that he was beaten. He was mocked. He was forsook. He was denied. He was spit upon. He was slapped. Then he was stripped, basically naked, and he was beaten. He was scourged for you, me, and this world. The chastisement of our peace was on him. And when we think about it, if we want redemption through his blood, that blood can cleanse us and even provide the forgiveness of sin. Now, what a friend we have in Jesus. He's done a lot for us. See, both the alien sinner and the child of God have Jesus' blood available to them. The alien sinner must submit to the conditions of the gospel. Mark 16:15-16, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, when you think about the alien sinner, you also got to think about what does the child of God have. The child of God who commits sin can also be cleansed, cleansed of their sins with Jesus' blood. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins. Now, we have to confess our sins. We have to acknowledge that we've done things wrong, and we all do from time to time. The scriptures say he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when we are cleansed from all unrighteousness, we have to understand that when God forgives us, we're justified as if it never happened. And that's the thing that we need to understand when it comes to us forgiving others. We need to get to the point to where when we forgive someone, it's just as if it never happened. And the only way we can do that is we must develop the mind of Christ. Once we develop the mind of Christ, we can do that. We won't hold grudges. What a friend we have in Jesus. Point number two, Jesus helps us in prayer. Did not the song say, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. See, when you think about that, all prayer is to be directed to the Father in heaven. Our approach to the Father, however, can be hindered due to sin. Jesus therefore acts as our mediator before God. See, we need to be thankful that we have Jesus as a friend to mediate. He's the go-between. Because none of us really can approach him on our own. We need Jesus as the go-between. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. See, in 1 John chapter 2, turn to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, the Bible tells us that we have an advocate with the Father. Believe it or not, we're about halfway through this lesson already. In 1 John chapter 2, in 1 John chapter 2, and verse 1, the Bible says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When I read that, I get excited that it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. the righteous. When I think about that, you get excited. Now, when you think about an advocate, that's a legal term. You know, for folks that like law and order, it involves basically one who pleads the case of another. And we need an advocate with the Father, because if you go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible teaches us that Satan, the accuser, he accuses us before God night and day. And we need an advocate to plead our case, because as we do things in life, we might make mistakes. Satan is accusing us before God, saying that we're unworthy for God's for Christ's blood. But we have an advocate with the Father, which helps us. Amen. See, as our advocate, Jesus pleads our case upon the merits of his blood. See, that's what we have to understand. The advocate of Christ, he pleads our case to his Father on the merit of his blood. That's how we're able to be viewed as righteous. It's only when, you know, God looks at us through the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. God, therefore, can pronounce us as just and innocent when we come to him with a penitent heart, confessing our sins. Now, we need to know, when it comes to Jesus helping us in prayer, we have to know that we can't have sin in our life. John chapter 9 and verse 31, the Bible tells us that God does not hear a sinner. So we need to understand and know Jesus can help us in prayer, but we have to make sure that we keep our lives in order. Because if our lives are in order, then we can confess our faults and we can pray, and he's going to be the mediator to go between. Now, another verse, another passage, if you want to see how Jesus helps us in prayer, you can write this down. We're not going to read it. Look at Romans chapter 8. Read verses 24 through like 29, and you can see how Christ helps us. He helps us. Now, point number 3, what a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus helps us with guidance. This is how he helps us with guidance. See, turn over to John chapter 6. In verse 68, I want you to see something. This is one of the most profound statements in the Bible. It's also familiar. But this is how we can know that Jesus helps us when it comes to guidance. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, the context of this lesson, in verse 61, there were a lot of people that were upset at what Jesus was commanding and what he was teaching in this chapter. And he got to a point, he asked his disciples, "Will you also go away?" Verse 68. It says, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now, if I were to ask you today, is eternal life important to you? I'm quite certain that the vast majority in this audience would say yes. So, understanding that the words of eternal life are in Christ. So he is definitely someone who can guide us. If he has the words of eternal life, we need those words, because they're going to help us end up in heaven. Turn over to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, we'll also see that Christ, who helps us over, he helps us with guidance. He not only has the words of eternal life, but he also is the way to eternal life. And we need to hold on to that and relish and know that. Let's start in verse 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Now, really, when we, a lot of times we start in verse 1, but this is really a continuation of a conversation that our Lord was having with Peter in John chapter 13. But for the sake of time, we won't take a look at it. But if you're interested, go back and read it, and read that in that context, you'll see. Verse 4, "And whither I go, you know, the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" How can we know the way? Have you ever asked that question? How can we know the way? Many of us, when we travel, we use GPS, whether it's on our cell phones or we have the little tools to help us know where we're going. But we need to ask that question. How can we know the way? Knowing the way is essential. See, for instance, if you say, "Well, I don't know the way," you really need to be asking questions, just like the eunuch. He said, "How do you understand what you are reading?" In Acts chapter 8, one of the greatest statements in the Bible, he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" See, there's things that we are ignorant about, and we need folks to show us the way so we can end up in the right direction. Look at verse 6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So here, ask yourself this question. Where is the Father? The Father is in heaven. No one goes to the Father except by him. So you need to know the words of eternal life, which are given by Jesus. You need to know the way of Jesus Christ, because he's the way, he's the truth, and the life. Now, when you think about the truth, John 8 and verse 32 said, the truth shall make you free. John 17 and verse 17, the Bible says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we need the truth and we need the way so we can end up what God wants us to be. When you think about how Jesus helps us with guidance, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. The Bible teaches in that passage. It's familiar. It's often quoted. It's a profound passage, something that we can utilize and something that can help all of us. But when you really look at the context of who the book of 1 Timothy was written to, it was written to a preacher. And Paul is trying to tell him, if he's going to be an effective preacher, he needs to know that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, we all need to know, in order for us to be able to navigate this life and be what God wants us to be, we need a guide. We need something to show us what to do, how to do it. We need a reference point. We need examples so we know what to do as well as what not to do. And that's why we need the Bible. So ask yourself this question. How much time have you spent in God's Word? See, a lot of us have Facebook accounts and things of that nature, but how many of us spend time, have our face in this book? You know, you got cell phones and things of that nature. We have a lot of things that can help us, but take some time to put your face in front of God's book. Because after all, it's the words of eternal life. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and 105, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We need, when you think about a lamp and a light, we need something to guide us. You ever walking around your house and it's complete dark? Now, see, me sometimes, I'll do that. And I remember one time we had moved into a house and I was kind of learning my way around, but I was determined not to turn the light on. And I'm going down the steps and I missed a step and almost broke my back. But it would have been so easy. All I had to do was turn the light on and I could see. And see, if we shine the light of God's word on our life, he's going to give us the answers that we need to show us how we need to handle each situation. What a friend we have in Jesus. He guides us. See, we all need someone to guide us. And the great thing about his guidance is this. His guidance is always right. Always right. You're going to end up where God wants you to be if you do it his way. Now, when a lot of folks say, well, I need to get some counseling, I need to get this, I need to get that or whatever, and all those things are good. But the counseling that you need, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. See, the thing about the Bible, we need to know any problem that we have, God has an answer and a remedy in his word that can fix it, that can help us understand that what we need to do. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, this is a passage, if you don't have this start or a mark in your Bible, I would encourage you to hold on to it. The Bible says, let's start in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That verse is talking about the gospel. The righteousness of God. Those of like precious faith. That's the one faith of the Bible, the gospel. Verse 2 says, grace. Now, these people who are the righteousness of God, who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Look what they have. They have grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. You notice that you can't have grace. You're not going to have peace without the knowledge of God. Amen. The knowledge of God is what we need. It's going to help us. And of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power have given unto us all things. A-L-L. Things that pertain unto life. Not just some, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. We are called to glory and virtue by and through the gospel. We need to understand and know. See, when you think about Jesus guiding us, we have to remember what Peter said. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's no other place we can go but to the Lord. Jesus has addressed every problem, struggle, and issue in his word. If the issue is not addressed directly, principles are found therein to govern us. All we need to do is, major key, study, seek, and apply the word. When was the last time you studied God's word? When was the last time you sought or you seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read? When was the last time that you applied God's word? Now, if you seek, you study, and you apply the word of God, his guidance is also the perfect example to follow. 1 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 21. Make that on 1 Peter. I said second, but make it first. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 is what I want you to see. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, the Bible reads, "For even hereunto were ye called." Now, when you see the word "call," E-D, in the Bible, you have to understand God is the one that does the calling. Amen. And we need to understand that, because people will tell you that I've been called to do this and I've been called to do that. And you start asking some question, how were you called? Now, you have to understand that God is the one that does the calling. You must come. You have to answer his calling before you can become called. You come called after you do what he has told you to do. See, so many people try to come to God in ways in which you can't find in Scripture. For instance, you know, if someone were to say, I want to give you a call. First thing they do, that's cool, you can give me a call. But you need to know my number. God's number is okay. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a water that diligently seek him. Luke 13 and verse 3, the Bible says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 8:36 and 37, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. That's how you call. That's how you answer God's call, which is the gospel. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. No friend like him. Because Christ also suffered for us. It's personal. If Christ suffered for you, let's get practical. When someone does something for you, they sacrifice something on your behalf. Do you not feel some type of obligation to show that you appreciate and acknowledge what they've done for you? That's reasonable. But Christ suffered for you. A man, a woman who was a sinner, who was a wretch, who did not care about his sacrifice at some point in time. But he still suffered for us. And the reason he suffered was to leave us an example. Look what he says. He suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Many folks are always looking for some type of model or some type of saying. How about go through your day saying, follow after his steps. Follow after Jesus' steps. Imagine how we would live. Imagine what we would do. Imagine what we won't do. Imagine what we'll say. Imagine how we would honor him. See, we fall out this stealth because who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now Christ is the shepherd. He's the bishop of your soul. He suffered for you. He died for you. What a friend we have in Jesus. He guides us. The last point we're going to make in this lesson is this. What a friend we have in Jesus, because Jesus helps us with hope. Without Christ, we would be lost, doomed, headed for hell. But the good thing about hope, it involves the future. Hope involves something that is better. Hope involves that which motivates and inspires. When was the last time? Have you been motivated and inspired by God's word to serve others, to be faithful? See, our hope involves at least three things. Turn to Acts 23 and verse 9. Life beyond the grave and the hope of the resurrection. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 9, let's take a look at this verse real quick. In Acts 23 and verse 9, the Bible says, and there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel have spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Now, when you think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're arguing about the resurrection. And even today, you still have religious groups that argue about the resurrection. But the resurrection is the most impressive thing in the entire history of this world. We need to know as Christians, the better you understand the resurrection, the better you will be as a Christian. If you understand the resurrected Christ, you'll be willing to live a risen life in which you walk in newness of life and you seek those things above. See, Jesus helps us not only with life, providing hope, of life beyond the grave and the hope of the resurrection, but he provides us hope of life in a better place and the hope of heaven. Turn to Colossians 1 and verse 5. In Colossians 1 and verse 5, we can see that we can have hope, and that hope is in Christ. And the good thing about the hope in Christ, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Hope is in heaven. And that's connected to the gospel. We hear about it. We can read it. But Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus. He helps us when it comes to hope and having life shared with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, if we are going to be in that place where we are having hope, where we're able to be have a life shared with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's a great place. It's a great place because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is there, which would conclude that you've done something right, that you follow the mandates and the dictates of Scripture. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundance mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christians should be some of the most hopeful and inspired people in all the world. Because Jesus got up from the grave and we have a lively hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not something that's not going to happen. We need to know that all the things, everybody who tried to conquer Christ were defeated throughout his life. And even that last foe, death, was defeated. And he resurrected. And when you think about that, we have a great friend in Jesus. He helps us overcome sin. He helps us in prayer. He helps us by giving us guidance. And he gives us hope. And for those things, we have to understand. Are we a friend of Jesus? He gave the commandments in John chapter 15 and verse 13. Let's read that one more time for the sake of emphasis. If you profess that Jesus, that you are a friend of Jesus, you have to answer this question. In John 15, verse 13 and 14, the Bible reads, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The terms and the conditions have been set by Jesus the Christ. If you are his friend, you will do what he says. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no modifications, no I thought, I feel, I think. No, you're going to do exactly what he says, like he says it, so you can please him. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and doest not the things that I say? So it's impossible to be a friend and say that you love him, that he's your friend, if you don't do what he's commanded. I hope, as you think about the reason the Apostle Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, he knew that Jesus was a friend because he helped him overcome sin. He helped him in prayer. He helped him in guidance. Everything that he needed, the Lord helped him. And a good thing that we need to know as Christians today, we have a friend in Jesus. He loves us. He cares for us. He died for us. And he's made a way for us to please him, giving us everything that we need to be successful. Sometimes in life, people say, I'm a product of my environment. I can't succeed because I had all these troubles. But know one thing, if you follow God's word, regardless of your circumstances, your culture, where you came from, you can win. You can serve him. You can be exactly what he wants you to be. You can end up in heaven. After all, that's why Christ came, so we all could go to heaven. If you're here today, you never obeyed the gospel. The plan is simple. God wants you to hear and understand the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wants you to understand that. Understand that so much that you are willing to not only believe that, but willing to repent, change your mindset about the very thing that put him on the cross, your sin, my sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, if you believe the gospel, you must be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you do that, you put him on in baptism, and you remain faithful unto death, he's promised to give you a crown of life. He said, be thou faithful unto death, and you receive a crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you've done that in the past, and maybe you have strayed away, maybe you have not appreciated the friendship that Jesus has made available to you by you living a life in which you don't serve him faithfully. Maybe you are just a Sunday morning Christian. Well, you're here today, and you won't be back tonight. God does not want you to forsake the assembly because none of us know enough Bible to not come back and hear more from his word. No matter how versed or learned you are, the commandments of the Lord are too great for us to understand them all, and we need to assemble with the saints because the elders have set this time together for us to do it. God is not concerned. We need to plan our days, the things and decisions and the choices we make around God's word. Now, if you providentially hinder from being here, the Lord understand that. But there are some people that make provision and do things willingly where they could come to worship services and they say, I'm going to go to an event. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Are you being a friend to Jesus? Jesus said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command. We're living in a time where folks just think they have time to obey God. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. There may be someone here that have heard the gospel. They believe it. They've repented of their sin. They confess that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they have not put him on in baptism. And they've done that knowing the facts, knowing the commands, and knowing the promises. I will plead with you today, if you say that you love the Lord, know that he says the only way you love him is you doing what he wants him to do. If you're going to go to heaven, you have to be baptized. Why not today? Why not start your journey today with God? All things are ready. The word has been preached. Everything is in place for you to say yes to Jesus. Will you do it? If you need a prayer, notice when there is, please come while together we stand and sing the invitation song.